Okay, Priya's story, continue from the previous one, Game Theory 22. Now, we talked about the general will and the sovereign state. And he says here that, of course, the monarchs were not satisfied with this because all the countries in Europe were monarchies in those days. And what's interesting here is that during the French Revolution, the monarchies around France, they felt threatened by this because it could spread. So they invaded militarily France several times. They got together and they were fighting against the citizens. But they were losing to the citizens' army. And he says the reason why they lost was that this theory of the general will. And now we can say Dharma here, because it really establishes what it should be when it works. And what I think people then can see when they first hear about it and yeah, we should follow God's will, the way nature is, and that will make us all happy rather than to follow some fat king to go out and fight wars to make his treasury grow. So what happens then is this very powerful effect that these citizens, they are very, very motivated. They go together. They grab any weapon they can get hold of and go out to fight that enemy. And we see it over and over again. Vietnam, we see it when Soviet Union invaded Finland. Finnish soldiers sitting hiding up in the trees, shooting down at them in the heavy cold that they were not prepared for. So, again, this is to be taken, I say, as another sign. This Dharma is what it's about. You know, we feel it, that, yeah, this is the way we should live. And this way we are actually living and working together here. The trick then is, who shall replace the monarch? Shall we do everything by popular vote? No, because popular vote does not determine the truth. So it has to be ruled by knowledge and by experience of what works. And it's not that esoteric either, because that's how you run a company. There's a Dharma for a company as well. My father had a trouser factory with like 20 employees or something. And he had learned, working in another trouser factory, how you make trousers and how you run a trouser factory. How you manage the economy, how you do this and that and this and that. And he did, and when he does, it works. And he could maintain his family nicely on that. And all employees and customers were happy because they got good quality trousers and a monthly income. So that's what we're talking about here. That the leaders who sit up there as managers of that society should be qualified. And when I asked one of a person when I was in China, was married to my then wife's cousin, and sitting in the central government, actually, how do you select the leaders there in the central government? And he said, we take those who are the best, the most qualified, and it's obvious. So, well, I mean, if that is simply happening out of popular vote, and we'll see what happens. The leaders turn into actors. Actors turn into leaders. They just know how to act and say and look the way that charms the citizens. So somewhere there is, of course, a trick of this nation state. And it's interesting, we just continue here a little. The French Revolution, so the monarchy, their soldiers were professionals, mercenaries. Just as we find is the case today, much. Now, they like to go out there, be big and tough and strong and intimidate and maybe, you know, kill and rape a bit, but they don't want to die. They want to receive their paycheck, make some money, having fun out there, and then go back home to their families. But on the other side, you had the citizens defending something together. And, of course, many more of those than these other soldiers, professional soldiers, who were ready to die for their sake. They were defending their lives, their homes, their faith, their truth, everything. Their nation, their community. So this is why France became such a powerful country in Europe this time, because they could call on all their citizens to fight and die, and there was almost an unlimited amount of soldiers. Interesting. This is what Jung says here. And this created the French Empire. And again, I mean, this is what he's teaching here, according to game theory, that this is basically the psychology of this, what drives this, that you have people who are very motivated and there is strength there and they really get down to it and are ready to defend themselves. And then they are victorious against an often more formidable and much mightier enemy, maybe the previous empire. I'm just quoting him now. It's interesting because then the other countries, when they saw France becoming so powerful, they wanted to do the same thing, also nation state. But they didn't like that categorical imperatives talk. So they, as far as I understand it here, they developed another version of it, of the nation state, which is basically built more on nationalism. You know, language, culture, race, blood, and so on. And that becomes Germany, for instance, which is interesting. Iron and blood. And in this way, Europe became very powerful because these nation states, they could call upon their entire citizenship to fight and die for them. this is how Europe became, he says, the most powerful region of the world starting in the 19th century. Well, he says then that, I question a little bit, but still, that then you had these countries where people were ready for nationalists to fight and die, and this way it became a bit war-ish. The way to solve this, he says, was to increase the population, and therefore population growth started. I don't know about that, but maybe. And I say, well, with this population growth, the wars became deadlier and deadlier, of course, because you have more people to send out into the wars, culminating in the World War II, where quite a few million people died, more than ever. And, well, say I, maybe some out there think that it's time for even a greater cleansing of the human breed here on the planet. Anyway. So then, war, Second World War, and after that, Europe had exhausted itself. French Empire was gone, the European Empire was down there, all of them, the Austrian, this and that. And this allowed America to come into power. And America had a different idea about the nation state. The French was a social contract, the Germans, iron and blood. But America had a different idea because they were a multicultural nation. Immigrants from different countries trying to colonize North America. So for them, he says, I'm quoting Jung here, their theory is to create a game. The nation state becomes a game. The constitution and government are the game masters. So they will allow for anyone who comes to America to get rich as long as they work hard, and this will create the greatest nation in the world. So it becomes a game where anyone can play. And he says, in fact, the more players you have, the wealthier America will become. And then after the Second World War, they spread that game all over the world as far as they could. But then there are still communist countries like China and Russia. They did not want to participate in that game because they had their own game. So then after the Soviet Union collapsed, then the American game conquered the world. Globalization. Now, along this game goes on, really the get-rich game, then, there will be some winners who achieve all the wealth. Because it's still about that, right? You have massive inequality, and then the masses of people, they fall into debt. And now again, having as many players as possible, and that's, he says, why you have the population boom. So that's what I thought also, that there were definitely other things that caused the population boom. They said that these people who are now in debt, they are useless. We need to reset the game or kick them out of the game or whatever. And the way to do that, and one thing, way is to just destroy the game, burn everything down, make World War III and start the game over again. And that's, he says, why we are in the situation we are in today. So maybe he's right, maybe not. Maybe the big power players up there want to just destroy it all, reset the game completely. Or the rules of the game can be adjusted. Is this a game where I win and you lose? Or is it a game where we can all be the winners? Because being a winner does not depend on a loser. It depends on being successful, being happy, being satisfied. Like in sports, I learned those are real, you know, some of them, I think Swedish sports stars are often like that, or were. That, you know, I'm doing this because it's a victory for myself. Look, I did my personal best here today. Yeah, I'm happy, I'm satisfied. Not that I won and the others lost. Ha! Of course, some think like that as well, but that's not necessary. A zero-sum game, I guess it's called.